Well, good morning. I may end up down there, I don't know. And it amazes me how Pastor Steve can hold the Bible and do that. I know he's talking about how you get rid of the pulpit for the men's sake and everything. But I hope the music stands all right. Because I don't think I can just hold it. I think I'd lose stuff all over the place. But, you know, when Pastor Steve asked me to speak the other week, my mind was going in two or three different directions. But then this week it changed. And I feel like this message is for me this morning. So if you want to listen in, hopefully it's for you too. But it's a very familiar, fairly familiar passage of Scripture and very simple points. Okay? But like Josh prayed, we don't want to hear my voice. We don't want to hear what I have to say. We want to hear what God has to say this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd turn to James chapter 1. Can you see me if I stand down there in the bottom? That's better. Get out of those lights. I don't like that. Okay, good. If you have your Bibles, James chapter 1, we're just going to read verses 3 through 8. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." Okay, this may be a familiar... How many is this a familiar passage to many of you? Okay, it's a familiar passage, okay? But definitely, this is a familiar topic, right? Whether it's a familiar passage or not, it's definitely a familiar topic because we all face trials, don't we? We face... And various trials, many kinds of trials, big trials, you know, loss of loved ones. That's a big trial. Okay. Loss of a job. I feel like that's a big trial where you have a financial burden that's just weighing you down. Those are big trials. When you hear that a loved one or maybe yourself has come up with a serious disease, maybe a terminal disease or cancer. I heard of a young fellow the other week, the 33 years old has Lou Gehrig's disease. That's a trial facing those years ahead. But we also have small trials, don't we? Winter. Okay, it snowed again yesterday. It might snow again tomorrow. Okay, that'd be a small trial maybe, but it's a trial, isn't it? You're not sleeping well at night, or those daily aches and pains are just kind of are nagging and bothering, okay? Or maybe that person that drives right behind you in the highway or on the road, they're tailgating, okay? Those are little things. Those are trials. And I think sometimes we do better when we face the big trials than when we face the little trials, right? Because the big trials go, meep, 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 meep. You need God, you need God, you need God, right? A lot of times it's the little trials that we struggle with. And that's what happened to me this last week. Some stresses, a little anxiety, nothing major, nothing big, that I needed to hear these words again. So that's why I'm sharing this morning. And again, I hope I'm going to come closer. That's the thing about when you can take this with you. So we're going to look at this three very simple points. And the first point, how do we deal with trials? Because that's what we want to get at. How do we deal with the trials in our lives? Because we all face them. Well, the first thing we need to do is focus. That's our first point, focus. And to get us started on our first point, I'm going to show you a magic trick, if that's all right. Okay? Now, keep in mind, I'm not a professional. All right? But I'm going to take this cord. Everybody can see. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it, Bob? Okay. Here's a cord. I'm going to put it on my arm here. And I'm going to... Remember, I'm not a professional. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to try to make it disappear. All right. So you watch carefully. Oh, look up there a second. All right. Okay, now how many of you think you know where the quarter is? How many of you think you know? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you think it's in my sleeve? Raise your hand. Oh, a few. Well, I'll be honest with you. It's not in my sleeve. Okay? Where else do you think it might be? Oh. All right. Oh. You lost your focus. You were distracted. Okay? And you lost your focus. That happens when we face trials many times. We lose our focus. We focus on the things we shouldn't be focusing on. We focus on the difficulty. We focus on the trial. We focus on the tribulation. And we forget to focus on God. What does James tell us to do here? He says, consider it pure joy. Well, we'll deal with that in a minute. Consider it pure. Wait a minute. That seems okay. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds because, okay, that word because is really important. Because, now we get to our focus. Because we know that the testing of our faith develops patience or develops perseverance, okay, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, our focus should be on the fact that God wants to work patience and maturity in our lives through the trials. So even if it's a small trial, even if it's that guy's driving right behind me, it drives me crazy, he's right on my tail, okay, I don't focus on that. I need to focus on the fact God wants to work patience through me in this situation. Okay? When my pipes freeze because it's too cold. Okay? Don't focus. Don't get all upset. Don't get anxious about it. Don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that, hey, God can work through me in this situation. He can develop perseverance. He can develop patience. And He does that. As we do that over and over, if we put our focus on God, then He what? He brings us more and more to maturity. Brings us more and more to completeness, right? So that we won't lack anything. So that as we face any trial, any situation, any difficulty, we know that God can work through us, right? Okay. Now, just so you focus on the message, okay, and not the rest of this time wondering where in the world that quarter went. All right. It's right here. Okay? It's right there. This is a very simple trick, guys. You can do this with friends, neighbors. The kids that are back there, you can do it for them later, okay? You noticed when I dropped the coin, that was on purpose. That was to distract you. When I picked it up, I transferred it very quickly to that hand, tucked it in my collar, and it's gone. Okay, it was never here to begin with, okay? But you lost your focus, okay? Make sure, now, doing that on a magic trick, that's kind of fun, really, when you lose your focus and you think, wow, what happened? But in life, it's not good when we lose our focus when we have trials. Because when we do lose our focus, instead of having pure joy like James talks about, what do we end up with when we focus on the trials? Anybody for complaining? Anybody for a little anger? Anybody for a little, why me, God? Why now, God? Maybe some resentment and some bitterness. See, when we have our focus on the difficulties, on the trials, it doesn't bring anything like what we see in James. But when we do focus on what God wants to do through us, through the trial and through the difficulty, then we can consider it pure joy. Okay? Think of the Apostle Paul. Now, I don't have a PowerPoint this morning. That was one of those things that I thought, that's a trial I want to avoid because I'm not super experienced with PowerPoints. I even tried to start doing that, and I thought, this is a stress I don't need. Okay? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to these words of Paul in verse 7. Maybe it's 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Does that sound like Paul is just being flippant about trials? Does that sound like he's singing, "Don't worry, be happy"? Trials are real, right? And we don't say, when James tells us to consider it pure joy, it's not that we're saying, "Oh, no problems, no worries, everything's wonderful, everything's great." No, the trials are still severe. The trials may be very difficult. You may feel like, "I'm under so much pressure, I don't know if I can make it." But he goes on to say in that passage, "But these things happen so that we might," what's it say, Matt? "Rely on God," doesn't it? Rely on God and not on ourselves. Again, switching the focus. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. Oh, I don't know if I can bear it. Switch my focus. Focus on God, who we have to rely on, who can help me help work through it. So Paul goes on in many other places. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always, at all times, no matter what we're going through, we can rejoice in the Lord. Later on in Philippians, the same chapter, verses 12 and 13, where he says, "I've learned in any situation that I can be content," right? "Because I can do," this is the more popular verse here, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Again, the focus is, hey, I can face it because of Christ. Romans 8:28, very familiar verse. Okay, "God works for the good in all things for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, another familiar passage where Paul's talking about his weaknesses. And God says to him, "Hey, my power is made perfect in weakness." So Paul goes on in the next verse. So he says, "So I delight." Delight, doesn't that sound like joy? Doesn't rejoicing sound like joy? Yeah. "I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecution so that God's power may be shown through me." So again, when we focus properly, when we focus not on the difficulty, not on the situation, it's not like we ignore it, not like we say it's not there, okay? But we focus, we switch our focus to what God, who God is and what He wants to do through us, then we can consider, in the trial, we can consider great joy. We can say, "Hey, this is a situation that's hard, but hey, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity that I can be joyful about, because God can work through me." Does that make sense? It's simple, isn't it? But it's not always easy. We have to push ourselves to focus. We have to concentrate our focus and say, nope, because there's a lot of distractions, and the trials are a great distraction. But we need to focus. Okay, let's go back to James again. Oh, by the way, what does focus start with? What letter? F. Focus starts with F. You'll see why that's important in a minute, okay? All right, let's go back again. So what's our second point? We focus, number one. Our second point is we ask. Now, when you're in a trial, do you ask God for things? What do a lot of times we ask for? Deliverance, right? Somebody said deliverance. Yeah. Even in our prayer meetings, most of our prayers, what do they go toward? "I'm having trouble. You know, fix the trouble, God. You know, I'm sick. Make me well. I'm suffering. You know, cure my arthritis. Take away the pain. I'm having trouble sleeping. Make sure I can sleep. You know, maybe there's a pill I can take." You know, we're always focused on fixing the problem. Okay? Not always, okay, but a lot of times. We're focused so much on God, please fix the problem. Even Pastor Steve last week, he talked about this in his message, didn't he? The disciples, Peter and John were in prison, and they got out. And when they came back, they weren't praying, God, help this not happen again. Help the authorities to be nicer to us. Help us, you know, maybe we can, maybe they'll get moved out of town or whatever. No. They focused on God, who you are. You're sovereign. You see their threats. Now help us to live out boldly what we're supposed to do. Preach boldly. Okay? Now, is it wrong to ask God for help? No. Even James, later in James chapter 5, he says, is any of you in trouble? What should he do? Pray. Okay? Any of you sick? Call for the elders of the church and be anointed with oil and pray. So it's not that James is saying, no, don't ask God to fix things. But we miss out when we don't ask for what James tells us to ask for and when we're in trials. And what does he tell us to ask for? Wisdom. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all generously without finding fault. Okay? Now, what is wisdom? Well, dictionary.com says that wisdom is the knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. See what that's saying? It's saying knowing what's true, knowing what's right, and then putting that into action. Being able to say, okay, this is what I know, now I'm going to live it out. Okay? So we're basically, when we're asking God for wisdom, we're saying, God, coming Father, help me in this trial, help me in this difficulty to know how to live out the way you want me to live. Help me to honor you. Help me to bless you and bless others by the way I respond. Help me to be able to be a light to the world around me by the way I respond. Because I'm asking for wisdom. In the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah. And the Mennonites, the Moabites, and the Maonites, they all get together and they're coming to attack. So he's warned. He said, they said, hey, these armies, there's a vast army coming against us. And Jehoshaphat's alarmed. But what does he resolve to do? Okay? A lot of times we try to take care of things ourselves, don't we? When we're facing difficulties, when we're facing hardships. Well, he resolves, it says in verse 4, and again, I might be wrong on these verses. Without my reading glasses, I can see the words, but I can't see the numbers, guys. But he resolves to inquire of the Lord. So here's what he comes to. I'm not going to read his whole prayer, but he comes to the Lord and he says, oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. And no one can withstand you. So his focus is already good, isn't it? His focus is on the fact, hey God, you're in control. You're all powerful. And then he gets to the end of his prayer and he says, oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Okay, we don't know what to do in this situation. We're seeking wisdom from you. We're coming to you. What do we need to do? And God comes and he basically says, hey, this fight's not yours. Don't worry about it. You just go out tomorrow and it'll be taken care of, basically. So he got his answer. Now what's he going to do? Well, that brings us back to James, doesn't it? So first of all, we focus. What's our second one? Ask. Focus starts with what? Ask starts with what? A. So we have F, A so far. Okay? Now we come back to James. When we ask for wisdom, how do we need to ask? We have to believe. Okay? I don't like the B as well as some other. That's a good one, though. We have to believe and not doubt. What's another good word for be? Trust. Okay? We have to trust that God knows what he's doing. If we go back to Jehoshaphat, it says the next day, Jehoshaphat, now he had a choice. He could say, whoo, this vast army's here. God says, oh, don't worry about it. It's taken care of. It's not your fight. Just march out. He could have said, nah, I don't. We got to do something, right? But he didn't. He trusted God. And what he did was he appointed a group of men to go out in front and just sing praises to God. He said, you guys march out in front of us and you sing praises to God and we'll all march out together. And as they were marching out, the enemy, they heard these men singing praises to God and it confused them. They thought they were being ambushed. And God took care of the whole thing. But he trusted, didn't he? So when we come to God and we say, give me wisdom, help me to know how to do, how do I respond in this situation? How to respond in this trial? How can I bring you glory and honor? When he leads us, we need to trust him. We need to believe and not doubt. Because we could say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if God's really not for me in this. I don't know. I don't know, God. How can you be on my side when this is happening? Okay? In doubt. Okay? We don't want to do that. We want to say, hey, I'm going to put my life into your hands. I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. Because there's a passage in the Old Testament that I really like. It's Isaiah 50, 10, and 11. It says, let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Okay? When you're in a trial, that sounds like a trial to me, doesn't it? You're walking in the dark and you have no light. How many of you have ever visited the caves in Pennsylvania? Okay, like Penn's Caves or whatever. Okay. Usually when they take you way down there, they get you down quite a ways. And then what do they do? Almost invariably, what do? They turn off the lights just to show you how dark it is. And of course, you cannot see a thing. Now, if a guide gave you the option, he said, okay, we've turned off the lights and we're not going to turn back on. I'm going to give you two options. One, I've got this really nice flashlight. Okay, it's really bright. I'll give it to you and you can get your way out. Or we'll leave the lights off. You hold my hand and I know these caves well and I'll get you out. It would be so tempting to take that light, wouldn't it? Because we want to see. We want to know. We want to have it all figured out. But that's not what we should do. Okay? Because when we try to solve things ourselves, when we try to take matters into our own hands, what do? When we don't trust the Lord to lead us, when we don't trust His guidance, we end up messing it up, don't we? We end up messing it up. In fact, those verses in Isaiah continue on. Now to you who provide yourselves with flaming torches. It sounds like getting a big flashlight, doesn't it? Now to you who provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your torches and the flames you've set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You'll lie down in torment. What would you rather do? Try to figure it out yourself? Try to work it out and end up just suffering and messing it up? Or would you say, I can't see, it's dark, oh, I'm going to put my hand in your hand, God, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you, even though, you know, it's just one step at a time, I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust. See, because God knows what we don't know, doesn't he? I didn't do this in the first service, but I think I'm gonna do this in the second service. Josh agreed to help me. So Josh, would you come up, please? I just have a regular, ordinary, I guess it's Corel plate here. And I have a dime here. Now, Josh, would you put the dime in the plate for me? Oh, wait, whoa. Gotta give you the rules first. You can't touch the dime.
Can I touch a plate?
No. Can't touch the plate here. Okay. Oh, and there's another rule too. You can't use like objects like paper or pencils or pens to pick up the pick up the dime. So, this is a difficult situation.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Now, it seems impossible. Now, the thing is, I know something Josh doesn't know. Okay? Isn't that the way it is with God and us? We look at a situation, we say, impossible. Can't do it. Thing is God knows everything. He knows things we don't know. Now, I've done this illustration before. I have never entrusted a person to do it. But I'm going to give him instructions, see if he can follow my instructions and actually do it, okay? Josh, I want you to kind of get your mouth down even with the thing over here. And just give a short breath like that, real short and strong, okay? Look at that.
Josh, I
am proud of you. I'm proud of you, buddy. First try. Hey, that worked out pretty well. It's always fun when object lessons work out well, you know? I've taught kids, and man, some of them just turn around totally opposite the way you wanted. Did you see Josh's surprise? Josh was surprised too. Now, Josh, he listened to me. He kind of trusted me, at least. I'm not sure if he was 100%, okay? That's what we do with God, see? Say, how's that going to work out? What? In this trial, you want me to, that neighbor that's bothering me, you want me to love them? You want me to pray for those that mistreat me? You want me to bless those who curse me? It doesn't, God says, hey, trust me. You do what I want. You do what I say. And I'm going to develop patience in you. I'm going to develop maturity in you. I'm going to develop you, make you more and more complete. And so the next time, you'll be more and more complete. And so, I want you to trust me. Okay? So trust begins with T. You teach school, right, Josh? Josh said F. By your... He was just so excited about getting that dime in the plate. Okay, so we have focus, we have ask, we have trust. F-A-T. Good way to remember when you're in trials, you want to be fat. Okay? Doesn't mean you go eat chocolates, okay? But you want to be fat. You want to be focusing, you want to be asking, and you want to be trusting. Okay? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to, so that Mandy and Brandon, you can go up. And then I want to share with you one more illustration of someone that's really focused. And then we're going to sing The Stand, which I like that song. I love the end of that song where it says, I stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. And that's what we want. We want to say, God, I surrender everything to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my hands, my life into your hands. Okay? I'm going to share the illustration first, then we'll pray, and then we'll sing. Johnny Erickson Tata. Many of you know who she is? Okay? Paralyzed from the neck down as a 17-year-old. She has a song that she sings for a movie. It's called Alone Yet Not Alone. I'd recommend you go home and YouTube that. Very powerful. But she's one who's faced a lot of trials in her life. A lot of difficulty. I can't even imagine every day having to, you know, depend on other people to do all those things for her. Okay. But listen to what she said last year at the NRB Awards, last March 2013. She said the following statement. I wouldn't trade places for anybody in the world to be this close to Jesus. I wouldn't trade places with anybody. I'd rather be this quadriplegic who can't do hardly anything by myself because this has helped me. And if you've read her book, she struggled in the beginning, but she came to a place where she's, hey, if quadriplegic brings me close to Jesus, if it makes me closer to him, I'm for it. Focused. Asking. Let's pray. Dear God, we we fail so often. Sometimes with the big things, sometimes with the little things. And God, I pray that You'd help us to follow this counsel from James, focusing and rejoicing, and then asking for Your guidance, asking for Your leadership, and in all our ways acknowledging You, and You will direct our paths. And then, Lord, just putting our hand in Your hand and trusting and obeying and seeing You work and maturing us and making us more like Jesus. Lord, now as we sing, may this be a prayer of our hearts. We surrender all to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Mm-hmm.